Welcome back. It's Tuesday, the 12th day of September, 2023, the day after the day that will live in infamy as the ersatz end of the Constitutional Republic, once known as the United States of America. And ironically, it's been a couple of days now since the world realized that the governor of New Mexico is not only a fake, she came right out and admitted her oath was a lie, but an absolute traitor. And still, there have been no arrests made, certainly no impeachment, to show the people of New Mexico that they still have a rule of law. The message, though, has been sent. So I'm going to begin our look at the news today with a series of stories from wildly divergent areas that all basically reinforce and buttress that same observation. We'll start with one you probably haven't even heard of. I was surprised. With a tip of the hat to Mike Adams and Natural News for pointing out this one. Most listeners here, I hope, are probably familiar with the Berkey Water Systems line of filters, often referred to by preppers and patriots and others who know what's going on simply as the Big Berkey, which have already turned out to be absolutely essential in so many places and will certainly become more essential as the Marxist, fascist, CCP-inspired Biden collapse accelerates. I can literally say, folks, I've recommended them for years. But if you haven't gotten one yet, it may actually be too late. The EPA, for one, and other TLAs certainly don't want you to be able to have clean water when they know you're going to need it most. And here's the capsule synopsis of the story. Turns out the EPA has decided, well, you could have guessed it, they really, really hate the idea of consumers being able to provide pure water for themselves, their children, their families that isn't tainted the way they intend for it to be. So guess what? The EPA has decided we're going to ban the sale of these wonderfully appropriate and oh-so-effective water filters in the United States. Oh, yeah, we're going to make it really hard to get replacement filters for them, too, because, well, because, obviously.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
And let's be honest here, folks. If you're stupid enough to believe that they want you to wear a mask because they care about your health, then you probably believe that they want to ban Berkey water filters for basically the same reason. Oh, yeah. Somehow or other, the EPA claims that Berkey water filters are kind of like a chemical pesticide, and therefore you slaves can't have it.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Miss Blue.
I guess.
And honestly, folks, this has got to be one of the most insane, idiotic, and yeah, satanic bits of bureaucratic overreach I've ever seen. Because it not only offends people's intelligence, it basically says we're not even trying to hide it anymore. If there's, say, a hurricane in your area, or we burn you out with fires like in Maui, and you don't have any water, well, as Goldfinger put it, we want you to die. And rather than treat the EPA's propaganda as if it was anything other than outright bullshit, and I'm going to use the term as it should be used, folks, because that's what this is, I'm going to instead turn to Big Berkey, the water filter company themselves, owned by New Millennium Concepts, and the James B. Shepherd Trust, the brand owner of Berkey Water Systems, and what they had to say about it in a lawsuit that's been filed against the environmental perversion of America. In their press release, an article entitled Berkey Water Filters Sues the EPA, they say that for more than a quarter of a century, Berkey has provided water filters to the public, providing an effective economical means of removing harmful contaminants from freshwater sources for consumers to have clean water at home or on the go. In fact, an entire generation has grown up with a Berkey water filter in their kitchen. So if the EPA wants to regulate gravity-fed mechanical water filters, it has a process to follow at the very least. Berkey water filters, they note, have never caused any harm to anyone. As a matter of fact, folks, they've arguably saved who knows how many lives. And the removal of Berkey water filters from the marketplace inexorably means that Berkey owners will not be able to replace the filters in their systems, and therefore the demand will be met with untested knockoffs and counterfeit filters that claim that their replacements provide the same benefits, when in fact they do not. And your host notes here, isn't that an insidious way to kill people? If in fact that turns out to be your real goal. And it's getting increasingly harder and harder to deny that that isn't obviously the case. This next part of their article I think is pretty obvious. They say the EPA's decision to persecute the market leader may well cause actual damage to the American people, whom the EPA is supposed to be protecting. And all I can add to that is, duh, they give some examples. But basically they say, given that Berkey's filters have never caused any harm to anyone, and the EPA's arbitrary and arguably outright irrational, new interpretation of its own regulations would seem to have a huge impact, directly threatening not only the jobs of 500-plus employees globally, lost sales for Berkey distributors and retailers around the world, some of which sell only Berkey products, and that would mean they're essentially out of business, and let's not forget the well-being of the American people, although the EPA obviously couldn't care less about that. Okay, here's the rub. The EPA has been regulating pesticides since 1947, mostly through the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, called FIFRA, which is a law that seeks to regulate chemical pesticides primarily for agricultural purposes. Are you starting to get the idea, folks? They're claiming to regulate something which is, in fact, a water filter by calling it a pesticide. I guess because it filters out things like Giardia, and you slaves had better get used to dealing with stuff like that in your water. But the law distinguishes, notes the lawsuit here, between actual pesticides and, quote, substances or mixtures of substances intended to prevent, destroy, repel, or mitigate any pest, and treated devices, which use registered pesticides in their construction, i.e. seeds that are sold after being treated with a registered pesticide. But never before has the EPA sought to force registration of a mechanical-type water filter as a pesticide until the EPA decided to start regulating Berkey water filters without warning after more than two decades of indisputably safe manufacture and sale in the American market. And furthermore, there was no notice nor opportunity to discuss the issue. The claim is that the Berkey water filter is somehow regulatable because, get this, folks, it employs silver in their filter media. Well, you know what, folks? So does everything from underwear and hospital bed sheets to bandages. Because silver, as you hopefully know, helps to inhibit the growth of harmful microorganisms. For crying out loud, folks, the pioneers learned to put a silver coin in a bucket of fresh milk in order to keep it fresh for longer around 200 years ago. Oh, everybody knows that they want to get rid of silver, and they don't like the idea of you having anything that would prevent, infection or propagation of this. This is so asinine, I have trouble even getting through this. There's a whole lot in here, and I'm not going to read through about how the problem arises when a water filter system is classified as a registered pesticide, because a whole host of time-consuming regulations and requirements then go into play, including onerous labeling requirements that must be placed upon all packaging, and so on and so forth. Good grief! This is beyond idiotic. Yeah, even beyond torturous interference and persecution. Yeah, it's downright satanic. And there seems to be one and only one real purpose here, and I think everybody listening knows what it is. Anyway, the people behind the Big Berkey line of water filters are suing in federal court and seek an injunction to force the EPA to follow its own rulemaking process before enforcing, and I'm going to put one word in here, onerous, destructive, well, that's two words, new regulations. There's a pattern here, folks. Your host will contend. Let's see if we can't flesh it out just a bit more. Remember, Liberty not so safe, that turns out to be more than happy to give backdoors to electronic combinations on so-called safes to Big Brother's very own Gestapo, like the FBI? Well, says a piece from the Western Journal, the new Bud Light, a company which describes itself as, quote, America's number one heavy-duty home and gun-safe manufacturer, has come under fire for a new report which revealed that its parent company, and this is a familiar theme now, isn't it? Somebody bought them and seems to have undermined their mission. Well, that parent company has given almost $500,000 to pro-gun control communist, a.k.a. Democrat officials. On Wednesday, Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk showed FEC filings on the social media platform once known as Twitter, a.k.a. X. It shows Liberty Safe's parent company, Monomoy Capital Partners, has donated hundreds of thousands of bucks to far-left gun grabbers and socialists masquerading as Democrats. Wrote Charlie Kirk, I pulled the FEC reports on the company and found approximately $400,000, he said, over the last 10 cycles of max donations to Democrats. And their CEO, Justin Hillebrand, was a founding partner of Monomoy and donated $4,600 to Obama for America. Now, ponder this, folks. This is a company that supposedly makes safes for patriots to be able to keep their guns safe from the gun grabbers that this very same company is now funding. And isn't this funny? In a news release in 2021, they announced their acquisition of Liberty Safe, calling it another great example of Monomoy partnering. How's that for an eyebrow-raising term? With a branded market-leading consumer products manufacturer that's garnered an enthusiast customer base throughout the company's history, unquote. And guess what they have now done with that customer base, folks? Is there a polite way to say, ha-ha, we took the company over and screwed them? How about they targeted them and pulled a Bud Light? Among the many donations listed, some included far-left senators like Raphael Warnock of Georgia, the infamous vegetable John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, and Mark Kelly of Arizona, along with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes of Wisconsin, all of whom have expressed their support for destroying the Second Amendment. And you may recall that Barnes lost a bid to unseat the decent Republican senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, back in November. The story helpfully reminds us of this. The man who was targeted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and arrested August 30th for daring to think that he had a right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And you know what we're talking about, right? January 6th, Nathan Earl Hughes of Fayetteville, Arkansas, has, through his lawyer, pointed out that Liberty Safe, sick, volunteered to give the FBI the backdoor passcode to get into his safe, despite the fact there was no court order actually requiring the company to do so, admits the New York Times. And this is interesting. I hadn't seen this part before. Hughes' case has been highlighted by a conservative duo known as the Hodge Twins, who described Hughes as, quote, an outspoken American patriot and a friend of ours. And right there, you know why the American Gestapo wanted to bring him down. The Hodge Twins also shared a video of Hughes' arrest and a convoy of FBI vehicles pulling into his driveway. But since the FBI reportedly disabled his home security system, gee, I wonder if they got in via the back door to that one too, or just had to take it out the old-fashioned way. There was no footage of agents actually executing the search and takedown. Well, thankfully, folks, unlike some other FBI takedowns of late, at least Hughes is still alive. Meanwhile, says the piece, Liberty Safe has attempted to recover from the well-deserved backlash surrounding their failure to do what they should have done to begin with if they were a real safe company by announcing that customers can now remove their safe's backdoor passcodes from Liberty Safe's database of combinations. Now, note, folks, since the combination is electronic and the backdoor is not changeable by the customer, suggests your host, you've still got a problem. But hey, not to worry, they say. You can fill out a form and have the access codes expunged, they promise. Well, unless there's a copy out there somewhere or something like that. And let me tell you, folks, if you believe that they're going to expunge those passcodes, why, maybe you even believe the ATF isn't keeping a national registration of guns from those infamous yellow background check permission forms, contrary to what was once called law, back when shall not be infringed used to actually mean something. I can't help but think here, there's an old saying about trust you may have heard. It can take years to build up, but only a minute to utterly destroy. Item, real quick update from InfoWars. Their well-known host and reporter, Owen Schroyer, has been sentenced to 60 days in the federal gulag for the crime of thinking that free speech was still permissible in a police state. And no, he didn't even enter the once so-called People's House. From there, on we go to some other aspects of a truly fascist state, courtesy of the Gateway Pundit and Jim Hoff. This one, what's going on here? Three separate coin shop owners. Achtung, you know that when we have the Mark of the Beast in place, we don't want you to have gold or silver coins, and they've got a multiple-pronged attack on silver, as we've seen. Well, these coin shop owners were shocked, I tell you, as their bank accounts were suddenly shut down with no reason given. Who could have imagined such a thing? And yeah, folks, they're doing it to gun stores, too. Imagine that. An Ohio-based coin shop owner recently took to YouTube, the piece begins, to share alarming news. His regional bank, with whom he's been a customer for a number of years, has suddenly decided to sever all ties by closing all six of his personal and business accounts. And he received a certified letter from the bank stating, after a recent review, oot, a bit of pressure from above. Okay, well, yeah, they didn't actually say that last phrase, but I think it fits there, and you probably know as I do, it's appropriate. We have decided to end our relationship with you. Oot, close your accounts. Oot, as stated in your account agreement. Ha ha, we have got you, you know. We can close your account at any time for any reason, with or without notice. Oot, now is the time. They dated it September 6, 2023. And what's shocking, says TGP, is the bank has declined to provide any reason for their abrupt decision. Remember, folks, in a fascist state, they don't need to give you one, although you can probably guess, and the owner and his family have been left in the dark. But, well, not really, if you understand the process here. And, of course, what the whole point of a public-private partnership is to begin with. He visited the local branch manager, with whom once upon a time he had a good relationship but couldn't get an answer. Quote, they're just closing all my accounts. They don't want to do business with me. They won't tell me why. He says the local branch manager even tried to find out, but they wouldn't even tell her. The businessman explained that he had been in compliance with all necessary regulations, including the so-called anti-money laundering, or AML, program, but the bank's sudden move has not only disrupted his life, but also has him worried about the future of his, at least for now, fully legal and long-standing business. There are many more, of course, and it isn't an isolated event, says TGP. The owner himself is aware of at least three other businesses, two coin shops and a pawn shop in Ohio, that have faced the same issue over the last few years. And in another story, a recent interview with YouTuber T. the Silver Stacker, Sherry, a local coin shop owner in the Chicago area, opened up about her recent ordeal with her bank, Old National. And they did the same thing, closing a whole bunch of her personal and business accounts, as well as others in her family. They're just using our option, she recounted. And said, Sherry, I'm hearing more and more of this from coin dealers, gold and silver bullion dealers, jewelry stores, jewelry dealers, anybody in that type of business. All of a sudden, banks are just opting their right to kick you out. And when you sign up with them, you have to sign that paperwork that says they can do it at any time. You have no control. So even if all your paperwork is in order, it doesn't matter. They just don't want your business. And more appropriately, folks, they don't want you to have your business or anybody else to have access to it. Wonder what the common denominator could be here. Well, maybe this will give us a clue. Another related piece your host suggests, courtesy of Tom Ozimek via the Epoch Times, also Zero Hedge, under the headline, IRS has launched a, quote, sweeping und historic tax enforcement crackdown using AI. Thanks to the new funding boost, courtesy of the leftist and the communist Chinese party takeover, they're launching their sweeping historic tax enforcement initiative using artificial intelligence and other cutting-edge technologies to catch what they call tax evaders more effectively. Quote, there's a sea change taking place at the IRS in every aspect of our operations, said Commissioner Danny Werfel in a September 8th statement, which notes that the agency has completed top-to-bottom reviews of its enforcement efforts and is girding to catch people that are, quote, abusing the nation's tax laws. And you probably thought that would mean the criminal first family. Wrong. Thanks to new cutting-edge tech, the changes will be driven, he said, with the help of improved technology as well as artificial intelligence that will help IRS compliance teams better detect tax cheating, identify emerging compliance threats, and improve case selection tools to avoid burdening taxpayers with needless no-change audits. In other words, we're done with those times when somebody gets audited and doesn't get hammered. The new enforcement thrust, it said, and I think that's an appropriate term, is said to focus on higher-earning Americans and big corporations. They pledge you don't have anything to worry about, folks, unless you earn over $400,000 a year, which, given the Biden inflation, will probably mean by next May or so, when a crappy hamburger costs $100,000, you may have a problem. So just maybe more Americans can expect that dreaded door-kicking down at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to follow that up with what I again think are a couple of related stories. You may recall that last week there were several stories about various big banksters being taken down, at least temporarily. Wells Fargo, Chase Manhattan, Down Detector said all of them were having problems with their consumer electronic interfaces. Meanwhile, says the burning platform, Square and Cash App payment platforms were also taken down in a nationwide massive cyber attack. Says this piece, truth-telling alt-media websites, including Zero Hedge, Natural News, InfoWars, Steve Quayle, The Gateway Pundit, Rents, Mercola, Citizen Free Press, What Finger, The Liberty Daily, Rumor Mill News, The Burning Platform, All News Pipeline, State of the Nation, and a lot of others have all undergone massive censorship campaigns and periodic takedowns over the years. But now, the deep state cyber terrorists seem to be attacking and targeting huge payment platforms, like Jack Dorsey's Square payment platform and Cash App mobile payment service, among others. For example, both Square and Cash App were totally disrupted last Thursday, September 7th. obviously concludes the piece. There are real-world consequences here, and your host can't help but think some of them just might be exactly what's intended. How about this piece from Clint Sener via GoldEagle.com? He's the author and director at Money Metals Exchange, and this one is called Attacks on the Rule of Law Point to the Need for, this might sound familiar, folks, because we talk about it all the time, off-grid forms of money. Yep, he begins, the assault on individual rights is accelerating, and investors would be wise to think about the assets they hold in a world where the rule of law, he says, is failing. I would say stick a fork in it. Last week, he notes, the New Mexico tyrant masquerading as governor under color of law, Michelle Lujan Grisham, banned citizens of that once free state from carrying firearms of any kind in Albuquerque. She wants them to be fodder for the criminals that are coming across the border en masse and don't have to worry about little things like that because Big Brother just turns a blind eye to what they do. And no sooner, that's not all. If Big Brother can seize your guns, why can't they seize your financial assets, gold, silver, and anything else they can lay their hands on, especially if you were silly enough to put it in a Liberty safe with the back door up on their networks whenever they feel like it? There's a critical lesson here, he says, for investors. Politicians with tyrannical instincts aren't going to respect private property rights. Gee, don't you think that's obvious by now? Any more than they respect a citizen's right to carry a gun for the purpose of defense against those people that Big Brother wants to use to harm them. If those in power deem it necessary, he writes, they'll take whatever they want. Isn't that obvious? The FedGov believes that several federal laws on the books empower them to seize any private asset they want, firearms and gold and silver, paper money, Bitcoin, you name it. If they can do it with something that shall not be infringed, well, what limit is there? Answer, none. Especially if they declare, like the New Mexico tyrant, Achtung, in an emergency, they can do whatever be blankety-blankin' vel want to with you. Americans, he notes, got a glimpse of this behavior all the way back in 1933 when Franklin Delano Roosevelt stole the American people's gold. A few years back, the nation of Cyprus confiscated a large portion of the cash balances held in its nation's bank by its nation's so-called citizens and those that were outside the country as well. Officials closed the bank and took what they wanted without warning. It was quick, it was easy, and it was a precedent. Gold and silver have the almost unique advantage, writes Sener, versus other common asset classes, that confiscation of private portable physical metal is a hell of a lot harder than stealing what they have an electronic record of and maybe even a back door, again, if you put it in the wrong place. This is especially true without the goodwill and public cooperation once enjoyed by FDR, but since then pretty well squandered by a tyrannical, out-of-control government. Meanwhile, conventional assets, including cash in banks, as well as stocks and bonds held in brokerage accounts, can be seized electronically, with little fuss, little muss, and little notice. Meanwhile, physical bullion, he says, on the other hand, is off the grid and immune from electronic seizure, which is an increasingly valuable feature in a world where governments are prone to not just ignore, but utilize property rights, especially if it's a matter of record, to come and steal what they want. And if you dare to speak up about it, well, you've already been sent the message about what happens. Which brings us finally to this story. Yep, I still think it's related, courtesy of LeoHolman.com. It's called an exclusive, and the headline says, Homeland Security Achtung has awarded 20 million fiat bucks in grants to police, mental health, sick networks, universities, and probably 501c3 churches, I can't help but think, as well as public school districts in order to help identify Americans as potential extremists. Well, wait a minute. If we're talking real Americans, is there any other kind at this point? Since he wrote this on the anniversary of the 9/11 false flags, he says, you might think these 34 organizations would be focused on, well, real terrorists, at least what we once thought of as real terrorists, like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or maybe the Iranian Republican Guard. But you'd be wrong. These are focused on Americans who dissent from the prevailing narratives coming out of Big Brother and its collaborating public-private partners in the corporate media and major socialist media platforms, whether it's the COVID-1984, the Cyclone B that goes with it, the vaccines that aren't, the war in Ukraine, illegal immigration, especially if you call it what it is, invasion, the shreds of the Second Amendment, LGBTQ plus P ideology and gender child confusion, all kinds of things, in other words, that would literally have been called insanity back when we were a free republic. The integrity of our elections. How about the issue of protecting life in the womb? Well, you're no longer allowed to hold dissenting opinions, he notes, and especially not allowed to voice them publicly in America with a K. Because if you do, Big Brother will take note. They will call you a potential terrorist, an extremist, and just as George Orwell predicted, the Ministry of Love will come after you and probably do something really nasty to you. And you know what's funny, folks? Orwell thought they'd have to rename it. No, they still call it the FBI or the IRS or the ATF. The program's called CP3. Maybe they're hoping people will confuse it with a cute golden droid. And the press release talks about leveraging an approach informed by public health research. What do you bet they'll even leverage emergencies to steal your guns? Hey, and here we thought maybe Michelle Lujan Grisham didn't get the memo. Looks like she actually got it early, but at least the game plan is pretty obvious. Thanks for being with us, folks, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.